coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, October 11th, 2022. A couple of things. You know, when you go to the grocery store, I'm sure you've seen this or felt this in your pocketbook. I certainly have. We certainly have as a family. The 12.4% annual rise in food prices right here in the United States. Now, it's different in other countries, but pretty much on par with the United States, is the biggest increase since February of 1979. Now, this according to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And I do suspect that it's going to only rise in the weeks and months ahead. A couple of other things I want to touch upon. Interestingly enough, Sweden, and you know this, this is somewhat old news, but this all kind of ties together. Sweden stops recommending the so-called vaccines, the COVID-19 vaccines, which they're not, for children. That's sort of a big deal. Pay attention to that. And also pay attention to the fact that the FDA is withholding autopsy results on people who died after getting the injecticide. All right. I'm telling you right now, the U.S. FDA is outright refusing to release the results of the autopsies conducted on people who died after getting the shot. Well, the FDA says it's barred from releasing medical records. A drug safety advocate says that the autopsies could be released with personal information redacted. Now, this obviously is a big deal because you're going to be seeing more and more and more deaths over the next several months. I can tell you, just from my own personal experience with people I've spoken with in the medical profession and also the funeral industry, as well as the insurance industry. Meanwhile, you've got Newsom, Gavin Newsom, last week, I believe it was last week, signing a bill to police doctors in California on COVID misinformation. So what Newsom signed into legislation is a bill that allows the state medical board to discipline physicians in California for spreading so-called misinformation or disinformation relating to the SARS-CoV-2 virus bioweapon. And that should outrage many people. So here's my question with all of these things happening right now. Are you willing to risk jail? Are you willing to risk prison, going to prison? A couple of things that have happened that I can tell you right now, we have seen coming at us, will be happening to everyone. Of course, we saw what happened with PayPal. Hey, you know what? If you say something we don't like, regardless of the platform, it could be on Facebook, it could be on Twitter, it could be on whatever. We're watching you if you have a PayPal account. You say something that we don't like, we'll fine you $2,500 and we'll shut down your account. The reason I bring this up, now, you will notice we have PayPal. We're shutting that down, okay? It takes some time to flip things, all right? Trust me when I tell you, it's not like flipping a switch, but it doesn't matter if they walk back their statements. They still have this intolerance. They're still a woke company. And that affects a lot of other companies as well, but more on that at another time. But my question to you is this. At this point, with less than a month to go before the primary or before the midterms, are you willing to risk prison, jail? Are you willing to risk being charged with some bizarre crime. If you're not, I have a question for you. What is it? What would it take for you to be for you to say yes to that question? I mean, what would it? What possible at this point in our existence, the global left, the communists, the globalists, the one world, new world order people have pulled out all the stops. And I see many people excited over the midterm saying, you know what, we're going to take back the House. We're going to take back the Senate. We are going to have power. But what has anyone done with that power on the right, on the conservative side? Not much. Meanwhile, there's a fight. There are fights going on. We are in a cold civil war. We are in a cold revolution right now. Meaning the guns haven't come out yet, but they will. And I'm sorry to say that, but they will. If you look at the money markets, the stock market, the Dow, if you look at the S&P 500, if you look at some of the things that are taking place with the investments, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, we are headed for just an incredible crash here in the near term, by the end of the month, perhaps by the midterms. I don't even know if we will have midterms, to be honest. I don't know whether the midterms will be stopped if they feel they cannot cheat enough to overcome the right's the right's victory in the midterms to maintain their level of infiltration. I don't know if we'll have midterms. I don't know if they'll bring down the markets intentionally, bring down the dollar intentionally. Or even a nuclear attack. There are people, there are people fighting on the front lines right now, for their very lives, their freedoms, their First and Second Amendment rights. And we're in that fight. My statement to you, and my promise to you, is I am willing to risk jail. I am willing to risk prison to get the truth out there. Many people would love to see that. Believe me, even on the Christian side, many people would love to see that. But you've got to understand that the people who you think might be Christian aren't necessarily on your side. They go along to get along. They don't want to lose any money. It's all about money. It's all about the level of comfort. So I've got three clips that I want to play. The first video clip, there's actually two that feature Alex Jones on different platforms. The first one is about 3 minutes. The first one is from August 9th. Now, this is right after the Mar-a-Lago raid, the FBI's raid on Mar-a-Lago. And these all connect together. But there's a question that was asked on this one. If you go back to August 9th, I believe this is from the Charlie Kirk show. I believe that's the first one here. This will be video three in the program notes at HagmanReport.com. But here's the situation. When you look at the plans by the global powers, they're all in sync. And they're all playing by the same playbook, by the same rules. So I'm going to play this, or have Eric the Tech play this. Eric the Tech, now, it is Tuesday. How are you feeling today?
A little better.
A little better. He's coming around. All right. He was sick again. Sick guy. Kids, you know, they bring home the germs, right? So When you have kids, that's what happens. I remember those days vividly. Okay. So all of these video clips connect to one point, and I will connect them up at the end. But let's play video clip number three. This is about 3 minutes. This is from August 9th of this year. Go ahead.
After you, with this ridiculous judgment, they expand the IRS, 87,000 agents, they raid Mar-a-Lago. Are these connected events? What's the lesson here? What's the takeaway?
100%. The corrupt multinational corporations that are anti-free market monopolists, they know the world's woken up to them. They know that people are saying no. And so they're bringing in every form of authoritarianism they can. Biden said over a year ago, he's going to declare questioning elections or questioning lockdowns or questioning forced inoculations as terrorism. And so they're just simply trying to outlaw their political opposition right now.
What do we do about it?
We don't get violent. We don't get baited by them. We are culturally winning, not even as conservatives or Christians, but as populists that just want a free nation. And so people know Biden increased the inflation. They know Biden cut off the pipelines. They know Biden imploded the borders. They know Biden did all these things. And so they're just simply trying to change the subject, but the people are with us. And so if we just get out and vote and expose election fraud, if we just promote our ideology of common sense and of family, people resonate with that and we're going to win. That's why we see all the tyranny, because culturally and politically, the power structure knows that they're not with the people.
So, Alex, let me ask you, do you think yesterday raid of Mar-a-Lago is an act of desperation? It certainly feels that way, that the Great Reset crowd, you know, the Davos crew, that they're freaking out that the people are starting to actually restore to some voice. Is there some, do you feel that? Do you think all of a sudden that they're acting out of a sense of paranoia and last minute desperation?
I mean, I totally agree, Charlie. This is 100% desperation when you've got this incredibly popular president who is set to announce he's running again, and you don't know what to do, so you raid him when the federal law says a president can get anything he wants from the National Archives or his presidential library. So this is all a giant red herring to try to disqualify Trump for running in 2024, and I predict it will make Trump run and it will make Trump win. I think they've jumped the shark on this.
Yeah, and the question is then, how do we respond to it? And then what is the, I mean, so you talk about the globalists a lot. Do you think there's any disagreement within the globalists on actually how to handle this stuff? I mean, it seems like there's more dissension in those ranks than people actually would ever recognize, that there might be actually a globalist civil war happening soon. Your thoughts, Alex?
Well, Charlie, that's really smart. I mean, that is. I have met with Bilderberg attendees. I've met with top billionaires that don't like what the main globalist system's doing.
Yes.
So to think that there's only one globalist or you know, one superpower structure, that's not true. There are a lot of people that are very wealthy and very powerful that don't like what's happening, and they're just waiting for the people to stand up and not submit so that they can basically back us as well. So that's absolutely on.
All right. That was from August 9th. And Alex said a couple of things. And of course, that was before Nord Stream that was sabotaged. That was before some of the energy was cut off. Some of the bigger energy was cut off from Russia into Europe. Europe is going to have some big problems this winter. There will be deaths from people freezing. There will be famine next spring or created by the nitrogen issue from the power, okay, into Europe. That's going to be coming in the spring and in the summer of next year. So you're going to have a number of things happen in addition to, of course, the collateral or the intended damage and death disability from the injections. And I noticed one thing in that. I don't want to stray too far from the topic here, but I was talking with a couple of people who know statistics, know the workforce. And it's interesting that the number of people who have been disabled as a result of the injecticide is a significant number. When I ask certain employers, and I've done this, your workforce, what's going on? Well, we can't get people to work. Why is that? Is it because people don't want to work? No, there's a lot of people who cannot work because of disability from the injections. Now, there are also a lot of deaths from the injections. We talk about that, but not the disability side. You're looking at this sudden adult death syndrome that, you know, the doctor's saying, well, I don't know what's going on. Well, you can correlate that. And I realize that the difference between correlation and causation, not necessarily the are connected, but the fact is you've got a lot of people who are actually physically disabled, cannot work after receiving the boosters, plural, in addition to those dying. And that's a big number. But let's get back to what the issue at hand here and the question at hand. Are you willing to risk prison or jail for your beliefs, for your ideology, for this war in which we find ourselves? So Alex Jones on the 9th referenced, or the topic with Charlie Kirk was how the Biden regime is attempting to outlaw political opposition. And of course, we saw Mar-a-Lago. And you know, the reason I bring this up is a lot of people forget, or they look at things in this stream of events. And there's a lot of things that happen every day that take your attention away from, again, the course of events. And you lose track of things. And it's easy to do. Okay, so that was August 9th, the Mar-a-Lago raid, August, September, October, really 2 months ago. Seems like a long time ago. And don't forget about political opposition. What Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York, going after President Trump for financial issues. Okay, so there's that as well. But how does that affect you? How does that affect all of us? Well, I suppose we could call up and ask the political prisoners in the DC gulag, which again, where are people on the conservative side in Congress? They should be screaming from the rooftops, look, let these people out. And what about us? I'm going to show you something that's going to happen to you or could happen to you. I certainly expect it to happen here anytime. That's coming up. Let's go back to Alex again. This is now, this of course is more recent. This is after last week. This is within the last couple of days. Alex Jones, the establishment is attempting to silence the Make America Great Again political trials and fear mongering. Okay. Now, In case you don't know this, Lawfare is one of the, in my view, one of the most hideous things that you can get involved in. When someone or some agency, group, company, whatever, sues you civilly, the process in that case is the punishment. It doesn't matter if they win. For example, with Alex Jones, the plaintiffs in that civil case that he cannot defend himself, they want $8.25 billion from Jones. $8.25 billion. Now, I played the clip yesterday with Steve Quayle on InfoWars. But the fact is this, again, the process is the punishment. But I want to go to clip two. This is Alex Jones. Establishment is attempting to silence MAGA through political trials. This is important. You saw what he said from August 9th. Now let's go to current day. Here he is again.
I thank you for changing things up. I know you guys are super busy over there, but I'm not a lawyer, and I've never pretended to play one. I get lawyers on here to talk about the legal issues. I can't figure out, I'm trying to follow your trial, and I can't, because they're doing the trial, and I'm not talking about the content of the trial, just the timing of it to shut you up during the run-up to this historic midterm. But I saw on Friday, they're asking for $8 billion in damages. Is that what the lawyers argued for? Can you explain that to me? Because I am now, and I did go to Harvard. I am totally confused about what's going on in your situation. So you can take a second and explain it to me and the audience.
Well, this would be 100 times, they're saying, bigger than any defamation judgment ever. And of course, it's all capped in Connecticut at less than $5 million. So it's all smoke and mirrors, but here's law.com. Billions in compensatory damages requested in Alex Jones' trial, $550 million per each of the 15 plaintiffs, $8.25 billion. So $8 billion, $250 million. It's just for a big number to scare everybody. They admit that this is a template to shut down all other patriots and conservatives. It wasn't a real trial. The judge found me guilty, and then she basically wouldn't let us put on any evidence. And so the whole thing is the weaponized judiciary, the model to take out the American people. The next phase of the censorship, just like I was on a few weeks ago, I talked about debanking, the social credit score being the next phase of control. And PayPal comes out last week and says, we're going to fine you $2,500 for off-site, off-app behavior and statements. Anything that we say is disinformation, questioning elections, questioning lockdowns, questioning open borders, questioning gun control. We're going to fine you $2,500. Totally illegal. And of course, they have to surveil you to be able to do that. On top of it, there was such a backlash, they backed off of it, as you know, Saturday, saying it was a mistake. But they put it in their terms of service. So everything they're doing to me and to you and to Trump is the model for everybody.
Here's what I don't get. Why? I thought it was a trial to argue these situations out.
Because he just said exactly what I'm trying to convey. What they've done to him, what they've done to President Trump, what they've done to Steve Bannon, what they've done to Roger Stone and others. Look, folks, they're coming after all of us. And I'll show you how and specifically where. You've got 87,000 IRS agents. I was at the bank over the weekend, knowing that Monday was a holiday. I had to take care of some banking. And on the counter, there was a stack of papers on the counter. And I took one of each. There were actually two different papers. Notice to businesses. This is what the paper said. This bank, and I'm paraphrasing now, this bank will ask for your identification in making any deposits that contain cash. Now, ostensibly, this is to monitor the money laundering potential. But I was speaking with the manager, and he said, you know, there's something I really don't get because it just doesn't make any sense why we would ask for your social security number, your identifying information, if you're making a deposit that has in part, all or part in cash into a business account. It doesn't wash. The explanations do not wash. This is a move in conjunction right now. Why? And by the way, why now? And is it just this bank? No, it's all of the banks. Some have already been doing it for quite some time, but it's all of the banks. What does this have to do with what we're talking about with Alex Jones? Well, the fact of the matter is they want to bankrupt all of us and subjugate us to a central bank digital currency. But first they have to get the digital ID in, and they're using the SARS-CoV-2 to do that. I'm telling you, this is all part of it. But the fact that Alex Jones, again, the media is saying, oh, $8.25 billion potential judgment here. This is what the plaintiffs want. They're never going to get that. They don't expect to get that. Again, the process is the punishment. And if you notice, too, how this was all set up against Alex Jones. if you look at Texas and you look at Connecticut, you follow the trials. And I mean, man, I've been following them. I've had some conversations. I'm not going to get into the conversations, but I'll tell you this. The coordination among the judicial side of things is absolutely, it's evident. As a matter of fact, I think I might have mentioned this. I was Exhibit 20A in the Connecticut trial from the plaintiffs from December of 2014, when I appeared with my son as a guest, on his program, and he was talking about the odd nature of the behavior of people. And from a behavioral analysis perspective, I just agreed with him. But see, that opens some doors, legal doors. But I digress. But not really, because it can happen to you as well. Maybe not at the level of at that level, but maybe through, for example, your social networking. All right, let's continue with this, because he's got some additional good information about this and about what really is at issue here in this case. Go ahead.
Like, it's an advocacy system, adversarial system, as American courts are. Why were you not allowed to put on a defense? And how did they come up with an $8.25 billion number?
Well, they judge shopped in two of the worst jurisdictions in the country, that area of Connecticut and where I live here in Austin. It's just where I'm from. I'm probably going to have to move out of the area. It's so communist now. This is the same jurisdiction a few years ago that indicted Rick Perry for vetoing a bill. It's in the Constitution he can veto a bill. Travis County indicted him criminally, took him 2 years and $2 million to have it dropped finally. And the same folks went for Tom DeLay for simply raising money legally. Travis County, where I live, I picked a bad jurisdiction, set up my operation 28 years ago, was never thinking it would get this bad. And so it's totally weaponized. And both judges, two Texas trials, two different groups of plaintiffs, and then and 15 other plaintiffs up in New Haven, Connecticut, where they own the state, the Democrats. Same group that sued Remington, same group that's doing all this stuff. It's a Democratic Party operation run by Senator Blumenthal and others, literally run the firm, and his son's in there. And they own the judge, they own the system, they own the political process there. And so they said, give us all of your discovery for 3.5 years. Gave them everything, more than anybody has ever done in a libel or defamation trial. Then they said, no, you didn't give us everything, with no proof, by the way. You're defaulted, and so now we're going to have a trial on the damages, so they could put on all their fake evidence. They could cry and whine for weeks and weeks with no evidence I ever stalked them, no evidence I ever attacked them, no evidence. Just, hey, our kids died, and now all that is put on Alex Jones, and we want $8.25 billion. That is what they're going for.
I am not arguing the content of it, but because it kind of is what it is, right? But they could put on a case. But just to understand, for our audience, keeps asking, you were not allowed to put on your counter case to say, hey, so that if they came for damages, I don't know, it'd be $5 million or $10 million or $100 million or whatever it is, but $8.25 billion, that's what people don't get, because that clearly looks like they're just trying to destroy you forever.
I was not allowed to give any answers but yes, no, or I don't know. When I refused to, when they put me on the stand, the judge said, I'm going to lock you up when you come back for your part of the case if you give any other answer than this. She said on the stand, people didn't believe us a month ago when she put out motions in limine, or a month and a half ago when this latest trial started up. 12 things first that I couldn't say, that I was innocent, that I was in bankruptcy, that I never said the names of any of these people but one person. Robbie Parker, that I didn't have money, that I didn't send stalkers. All of that, I couldn't bring up political issues, but they could bring up Hillary. They could bring up Obama. They could show clips of me attacking Obama. But then I couldn't respond to that. So, yes, this is the biggest kangaroo trial anybody has ever seen. Mainline law analysts are now saying that this is the total, complete weaponization of the judiciary. It's a shameful. They put themselves on trial, and all they want is that big number of $8 billion. By the way, it's billion.
You can cut just that. All right, I'm going to show you how this applies to you now, okay? Because, and again, this is absolutely bizarre. You had an FBI agent appear as a witness in that trial, actually as a plaintiff in that trial in Connecticut. He didn't respond, an FBI agent. He was not, no family member was killed at Sandy Hook, this FBI agent. None of his family. He was not involved in the investigation at Sandy Hook. He was merely traumatized by Alex Jones' reporting of Sandy Hook. Now think about that for a second. You heard me correctly. He had nothing to do with this case, except that he saw Alex Jones talk about this case and was traumatized by it. How does that even work to become a plaintiff in a case like that in America? It doesn't. All right. Thank you, Alex, by the way. And what they're doing to him is really a sin. And keep him in your prayers. Believe me. Behind the scenes, people talk about getting death threats. You've got no idea what he goes through in terms of where he's at with people threatening his life, threatening his kids, his family. I'm not going to get into it, but there's that. Okay, now, last night, Tucker Carlson got into some extremely important information about our First Amendment. And this kind of goes into our Second Amendment freedoms. But there were a couple of cases that he spoke of last night. But before, and during this segment, it was a pretty lengthy segment. But before I get into talking about or showing you right from the beginning what he was talking about, I'm going to show you a clip, or I'd like to show you a clip from Harris and Biden. Harris and Biden, okay? First. And again, I'm going to connect all of this at the end. Now, before I do, I want to thank you for your support, folks. Thank you so much for your support, because we are fighting behind the scenes. There are things going on behind the scenes. Of course, you know that, hey, things have changed. They had to. For reasons which I won't get into, we are fighting incredible fights behind the scenes. We are assisting others in their fight. But I want to thank you as supporters of this platform. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing right now. And I think we're making a difference. It may not be this huge difference, but we're making a difference. We're starting to wake some people up. I've been getting some emails from all over the world saying, hey, found your program, found it through Steve, found it through Alex, found it through different places. And thank you for bringing on the people you do. Thank you for talking about what you do. And thank you for what you do. But I want to thank you for your support. I also want to thank our corporate sponsors, including and especially Lightstream, lightstream.com/Hagman, folks. You know, there are hidden costs of carrying a balance on your credit card. I'm going to tell you right now, especially if you got a high APR. And man, you know, some of the rates are so high, it seems like all you're doing is paying interest every single month. And that's, it just adds on, and you're using up your available credit. You never get ahead. I have recommended lightstream.com/Hagman to friends and family. We've taken advantage of this as well with great success. So if high interest rates are making it hard to just make a dent in your credit card debt, it may be time to rethink your options. And lightstream.com/Hagman is in fact an option. A credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream can help you pay off your credit cards and lock in a low fixed interest rate. Rates start at 5.753%. Let me say that again. Rates start at 5.73% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. And the rate's fixed. It's never going to go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan for $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. And you can get the money as soon as the same day you apply. It works that seamlessly. I'm telling you, this is a fantastic company to work with as well. Just for you, my listeners and viewers, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. Now, the only way to get this discount is go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That is LightStream, lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 5.73% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto-pay discount. Lower rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You'll be glad you did. Thank you so much to Lightstream, the fine folks there, good friends at lightstream.com/Hagman. All right. Link will be in the program description box as well. Check them out and save some money and use that extra discretionary income for preps. Okay, do that. Now, I was talking about Tucker Carlson, and I was talking about how all of this ties together. This is so critical to me when I look at this. Listen to Kamala Harris and Joe Biden talk very openly about what they intend to do to conservative Christians. If you, like Alex said, look, if you question the election, if you question the injecticide shots, if you bring up anything that the government does not like, they're coming after you. But don't take my word for it. Let's take Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. This is a real, real short clip here. Here it is.
So what's going on here? Well, a day before the FBI's raid on Paul Vaughn, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris announced their new policy, which is pro-lifers, because they disagree with Joe Biden and upset the base, are now terrorists. Watch.
We believe, and I certainly believe, that a woman should have the freedom to make decisions about her own body, and that her government should not be making those decisions for her. Today, extremist so-called leaders are attacking the freedom and liberty of millions of women.
We're not going to sit by and let Republicans throughout the country enact extreme policies to threaten access to basic health care. My message to folks across the country who are worried about what we're seeing is first that we have your back.
So you think to yourself as you watch something like that, well, of course there's.
That's right from their mouths. And when you look at Joe Biden, I was watching him there, and I was expecting him to like have blocks in front of him, playing with blocks. That's the way he looked. You know, he's not running anything. You know, it's the people, his handlers are running things. But this goes back to the Mayak report, if you remember that back in 2008. And this has been building and building and building since then. So let's go. Again, this is extremely important. This is about really a couple of cases. Tucker Carlson last night, if you didn't see it, this is worth watching. And I'm tempted to let it play out for a good length of time here. Here he is from last night.
Discovery of the New World by Christopher Columbus and all that happened after, which was the creation of the freest and most humane society in the history of man. We're still celebrating it. But we're also assessing what happened to that society because it is changing. So we want to tell you the story of a man called Paul Vaughn leading off tonight. Paul Vaughn does not fit the profile of a terrorist. You'd never guess. He's 55 years old. He's a former pastor who now runs a small internet service business in Middle Tennessee. He and his wife are gentle people. They're faithful Christians. They spend most of their time raising their 11 children. So last Wednesday morning at about 7:15, bucolic scene at the Vaughn household. Several of Paul Vaughn's children are standing in the front yard about to head to school. Suddenly, out of nowhere, their world falls down around them. A team of FBI agents armed with automatic rifles swoops in SUVs and begins pounding on the front door of the family home. Inside the house, Paul Vaughn is watching this and he's shocked. As he said later, "When I opened the door and saw the guns pointed at me, I asked them what they wanted. They said they wanted me." And they did. The agents led Paul Vaughn away. Inside the house, his wife, who'd been at the back with their newest child, an 18-month-year-old baby, ran to the front door. Confused and terrified, she asked what anyone would ask, "Who are you and why are you taking my husband away?" We don't need to guess about the exchange because it's on tape. Here's what it looked like.
But if you're not going to let me, then I'll just...
No, I want to know why you were banging on my door with a gun.
Hey, let's get after that.
You're not going to tell me anything?
No, they're not.
I tried.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You did not try. This is not acceptable. Can I have your name? You're not going to give me your name. You're not going to give me any information. I want to know why you were banging on.
Body armor, the little watch caps, automatic weapons held at the ready, taking off with her husband. Why are you taking him? Who are you? She asks. But of course, they completely ignore her. No, we're not going to answer. We tried when they didn't. They don't have to answer, because when your husband is a domestic terrorist, the government doesn't owe you an answer to the most basic questions. So Paul Vaughn, we now learn, is a terrorist. But what did he do? You may be wondering that by this point. Well, as the Department of Justice explained later in a statement, Paul Vaughn opposes abortion. And not just in a quiet, personal way. That would be bad enough. But Paul Vaughn is outspoken about his views on abortion. He still believes, being 55, this is a free country with a Bill of Rights that allows you the freedom to say what you want and even have protests on behalf of your ideas. He believes that was the freedom that built this country. So a year and a half ago, in March of 2021, Vaughn and 10 volunteers from a Christian pro-life group in Tennessee staged a protest at an abortion clinic in Mount Juliet. Now, we don't need to speculate about what happened next,
okay,
and that's a good thing for Paul Vaughn.
This didn't happen. So that FBI raid was in response to an event that took place on March 5th, 2021, 18 months prior. Think about that now. Think, please think about that. I mean, really understand what is happening here. And look at those people. If you're listening to this, go to Rumble, Brighteon, and subscribe too, please. Or HagmanReport.com and look at the images. Watch this. Go ahead.
It was broadcast live on Facebook by one of the volunteers. That would be 73-year-old Chester Gallagher. Watch this. So you live in the United States and you watch nightly the chaos in your city. Buildings burning, people being pushed in front of subway trains, people getting knocked in the face on the street for no reason, carjackings, murders, up in every city in America. So you look at that and you think, is that really it? That's why armed FBI agents with automatic rifles arrived at Paul Vaughn's home last Wednesday because of that? Because more than a year ago, a group of Christians, many of them elderly, sang hymns? Yeah, that's it. That's what he did wrong. Now, we should note that we only have this video evidence because of the hard work of Maya Cathell at Town Hall, which broke this story. God bless. Without this documentary evidence, without this video, you might be tempted to believe the Biden administration when it tells you that Paul Vaughn, quote, used force and physical obstruction to injure, intimidate, and interfere with employees of the abortion clinic. But he didn't. He didn't use physical force. He sang hymns. But for doing that, Joe Biden's Department of Justice now tells us, Paul Vaughn deserves to spend 11 years in prison. 11 years. Vaughn's, quote, co-conspirators from that day in March of 2021, meaning other pro-life activists, are also facing long prison sentences. This group would include 87-year-old Eva Edel. Now, if that name sounds familiar to you, it's because she is something of a celebrity in Christian circles, pro-life circles. And that's because she survived a Yugoslav concentration camp before escaping to this country, where she spent decades advocating against abortion. She has seen firsthand what happens when government denies the essential humanity of a person. In this picture, you can see her sitting in front of an abortion clinic as a police officer towers over her. Within seconds, two officers are shoving this 87-year-old into the back of a car. Now, again, now, contrast this with the country.
Pause just for a second. I believe whoever uploaded this inserted some of these images. Okay, this was not, I don't believe this was aired with that image last night, but continue. Go ahead.
You watch every night on television, or the one you experience if you live in a city where people are afraid to go to the grocery store, where Wendy's burned down in the name of civil rights and no one does a thing about it. Watch how they're treated. Same thing happened to 58-year-old Heather Idoni back in March of 2021. It took a whole team of police officers to remove her. Really, you wonder why. How dangerous does she look? Then there was 57-year-old evangelist Calvin John Zastro. He was also arrested that day in March. Here's a video he shot discussing it.
When we have national revival, this is what every abortion clinic's going to look like. Right here, field of rubble. Not through violence, through peace, but through God bringing the high places down. So let's go show up in front of those high places, trust him, rescue, preach, sing, pray, and see this happen to the rest of them.
Now, you may not share his views. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But be as honest as you can with yourself. Does that guy look dangerous? And if so, compared to what? There are a lot of dangerous people wandering around completely unimpeded. In fact, they're celebrated by this administration. Is that guy a dangerous person? Of course he's not. He's a Christian. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're pro-choice. But even if you are, you're not, if you're being completely honest, going to conclude that that guy poses a threat to you or this country, because he doesn't. And neither does his daughter, who's 24 years old, Eva Darlene Zastro. She was also apprehended at the clinic with her father. Here's her violent manifesto.
I'd seen the pictures before and I'd heard that it was murder before, but the connection went from knowing it here to knowing it in my heart. I just praise God that he gave me the opportunity to rescue, and Lord willing, abortion will end.
So imagine sitting back at Department of Justice headquarters, assessing that video and saying to yourself, you know what? They need an armed FBI raid. Get out the body armor. That's a terror manifesto. Apparently, they did conclude that, because now Joe Biden's Justice Department, the FBI, to its eternal shame, is rounding up everyone associated with Paul Vaughn's entirely nonviolent Christian organizations. Take a look at the mugshots from the FBI's investigation into this event in March of 2021.
There you go.
It's on your screen right now. They're telling you, the FBI is telling you, bragging about it, that these people are dangerous. And of course, you know what they know, which is, in America 2022, whether you're dangerous or not depends almost entirely on who you voted for. There are people in this country who molest children. True fact. You are hearing now that they are minor attracted persons. You have people on television trying to minimize the gravity of child molestation. Why is that? Well, because they're probably Biden voters. That's the assumption anyway. Meanwhile, those people in the mugshots on the screen, those are the terrorists. Keep in mind that Biden voters who've actually killed people are facing less jail time than these Christian protesters. Illinois BLM rioter Matthew Rupert received fewer than 11 years for setting fire to a cell phone store in Minneapolis. Oh, really? 26-year-old Montez Terrell Lee received fewer than 11 years of prison for setting fire to the Maxit pawn shop in Minneapolis, a fire that wound up killing a 30-year-old man. He got less time than Paul Vaughn is facing. 20-year-old Samuel Elliott Fry was sentenced to just over 2 years in federal prison for setting fire to a health food store. But it was for a good cause. It was for Joe Biden, so not a big deal. All of those crimes and countless others that are happening around the country at a scale we have not seen in our lifetimes, all of those crimes are being treated as less serious offenses than a man who sang hymns in an abortion clinic. So what's going on here? Well, a day before the FBI's raid on Paul Vaughn, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris announced their new policy, which is pro-lifers, because they disagree with Joe Biden and upset the base, are now terrorists. Watch.
We believe, and I certainly believe, that a woman should have the freedom to make decisions about her own body. and that her government should not be making those decisions for her. Today, extremist so-called leaders are attacking the freedom and liberty of millions of women.
We're not going to sit by and let Republicans throughout the country enact extreme policies to threaten access to basic health care. My message to folks across the country who are worried about what we're seeing is first that we have your back.
So you think to yourself as you watch something like that, well, of course, there's an election coming up in just a few weeks, and a lot of the Democratic base believes that abortion is the key to freedom and happiness, and they're very upset about the Roe v. Wade decision. Roe v. Wade is no longer the law of the land. And so Biden and Harris and the rest of the leaders of that party are pandering to them. It's okay, we're on your side. What you don't think is you watch something like that, that its effect will mean sending guys with automatic weapons to Paul Vaughn's house and scaring the hell out of his 11 children. You never would imagine that in real life, people who sang hymns at an abortion clinic would be facing 11 years in prison.
Okay, you can pause, so you have to stop that. You get the idea, right? I thought that was a brilliant segment that Tucker Carlson did. And here's the bottom line issue. When you were looking at the video from Alex Jones talking about how the current regime is attempting to outlaw political opposition, this is how they're doing it. And this is how they will do it to you. They will make you afraid to post something on social media. Oh, yes. And the digital ID that is coming to the West and specifically to the United States is a precursor for this digital currency that we're going to experience. It's pretty much a done deal. So if you're one of those out there singing, praying, or preaching at a place that does the murder of unborn children, well, then you will be, you're already under surveillance, but you'll be put on a list. And that list will keep you from basic general interaction. This is why Gates, by the way, is pushing for the digital ID. It's a complete surveillance. You know this. Complete surveillance mechanism. And this is also part of the reason why we have what we have with respect to the vaccine passports, as they call them, so they can control you through a... That's Lady the Studio. She's upset. Lady the Studio Dog's upset. Actually, in my office is members of Russ's team coming in this very early time, so forgive me on that. But this is what we're doing here is what we're seeing is this entire mechanism being subjecting or what they're attempting to do is subject all of us to this complete surveillance and ultimate control. And again, you might say, well, I know this. The length and breadth and scope of what is taking place is really breathtaking. I don't think many people do know this. We can fight back and we will fight back. I want to just read something to you here. This is a quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Hang on one second here. Let me bring this up. Let me bring this quote up. Where did I put it? There it is, right there. Okay. When you saw the FBI agents outside that home, and you as an FBI agent, or you as a local law enforcement officer, if you take part in this, you're part of the rank and vile. Not the rank and file, but the rank and vile. This is something from the Gulag Archipelago from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. You've heard this before, but again, I think it's time now to ask ourselves, are we willing to go to jail? Are we willing to suffer prison? are you? But more importantly, I think every FBI agent that's part of the rank and file, every law enforcement officer who answers to BlackRock and Vanguard and things like that, places like that, and their globalist overlords should ask themselves or should consider this from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And how we burned in the camps later, thinking, what would things have been like if every security operative, when he went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return alive and had to say goodbye to his family? Or if during periods of mass arrests, as for example in Leningrad, again, know your history, they have the very history the left is trying to erase. When they arrested a quarter of the entire city, people had not simply sat there in their lairs, terrorized at every bang of the downstairs door and at every step on the staircase, but had understood they had nothing left to lose and had boldly set up in the downstairs hall, an ambush of a half a dozen people with axes, with hammers, pokers, or whatever else they had at hand. This is Solzhenitsyn asking that question. The organs would very, very quickly have suffered a shortage of officers and transport, and notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst, the cursed machine would have ground to a halt. If we didn't love freedom enough, and even more, we had no awareness of the real situation. We purely and simply deserved everything that happened afterwards. What you saw with Tucker, you're not going to see on the mainstream media. You're not going to see in print, with few exceptions, Wisconsin Christian News, Epoch Times, or in this case, Fox News. So again, I go back to everything that we're seeing right now, and we're seeing too in terms of the current situation. If you're watching the stock market, if you're watching the prices, if you're watching what is happening, you're seeing the desperation of the globalists, at least in my view, pull out all the stops. You're seeing, again, in my view, this satanic agenda that is bound and determined to take us out, the Christians, we as Christians, we as conservatives, and if necessary, throw the vote in the midterms. If you are hanging your hat on the vote on the midterms, I ask that you reconsider. Look, I want you to go out and vote. I want you to go out in Pennsylvania, Doug Mastriano, my state rep, told me, "Oh, he's got no chance to win. He's just too divisive." Yeah, we had some words. He's the only one fit for the job. Oz versus Fetterman. Fetterman, I mean, I see signs for Fetterman as an example here, okay? I know going through the motions of voting may seem like a fruitless task for you, but we've got to do that in order to say, yes, we did everything in our power to do whatever we could to stop what's coming. But now you've pushed us in the corner. And I ask again, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you willing to walk away from the comforts of your home and spend some time in jail or prison or subject yourself to the process that we see? You heard the haunting words of Alexander Solzhenitsyn. I'm going to leave you with that question. I am. I'm ready. May God bless you. When you hit your knees tonight, pray for guidance and repent. Good night.